Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Toward the end of our previous shiur, we learned a Mishnah that described stores decorated with different kinds of wreaths in a city that was currently celebrating an Avodah Zarah event. The Mishnah spoke about buying from stores provided they are not decorated, they're without wreaths. However, if they are with wreaths, it's usur. Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish and Rabbi Yochanan argued about that particular prohibition. If they're decorated with wreaths, if the wreath is fragrant, then everyone agrees it would be forbidden to buy from it because you are benefiting from the fragrance of the wreath, which is considered benefiting from that which is related to Avodah Zarah, related to idolatry. What about stores that are decorated with wreaths that are not fragrant? They're merely decorations of fruits. Such decorations indicate that we can actually make a general comment that all stores decorated with wreaths pay a tax to the Avodah Zarah. In other words, by buying from such a store, a store that's decorated with a wreath, this indicates that the church responsible for the idol will collect a tax from that store. This brings us into the question, and hence the machlokes between Shimon ben Lokish and Rabbi Yochanan: is it mutter for me to conduct a purchase from such a store, knowing that a portion of my money is going to go to benefit the idol? According to Reish Lokish, there is no prohibition. The prohibition is nehene, to benefit, and that would be the case of the fragrant decoration, that's prohibited. Avol mehane is mutter. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says that even if it's decorated with fruits, it's usur, and he feels that it's a kal vachomer, that if it's usur for me to benefit from the Avodah Zarah, it is all the more so prohibited for me to offer benefit to the Avodah Zarah. The Gemara that we're picking up with, on the third line from the top of Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara raises a kasha on Reish Lakish from a Tanaic source. The Gemara will present the entire source, and then after the source, the Gemara says, and you can see the framed section with Rabbi Nosson's name underlined at the beginning, this is a Tanaic source. All framed items in our marking system represent Tanaic sources. After the source, there is an excerpt that the Gemara quotes, where it says, "Kotoni mihas, yoniach nimtso nehene, lo yoniach nimtso mehane." And we've dashed underlined that expression, and we see from there that mehane is objectionable. In other words, that is also to offer benefit to the Avodah Zarah. That's contrary to the stance that Reish Lakish took. Let's now start the Gemara with the question, Meisvei, the third line from the top. We're going to also emphasize that this is a source that's authored by Rabbi Nosson. We're emphasizing that because later in the sukkah we're going to want to contrast information that we see in this source with the Shitas Chachomim that appears a bit later. So the source begins, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Yoim Shavudis Kechovim Manachas Boi Esameches. A day that the idols offer a discount regarding the taxes, or a relaxation in the taxes. Machrizin v'omrim. an announcement is made. Kol mi shenoytel al Torah v'yaniach b'roishoy u'b'roish chamoroy v'chavoyd avodis kochavim v'yaniach lo esameches. Anyone who takes a wreath and places it on his head and on his donkey's head in honor of the idol, they will enjoy a tax break, a tax relaxation. The imlav, if however they go into stores and go without the wreath and without decorating their animal, al yaniach loy esamecha, so they won't enjoy the tax break. Yehudi shenimtsa shah mayaseh, a Jew that's found in under such circumstances, what should he do? Yaniach, if he places the wreath on his head, nimtsa nehene, then he is benefiting from the what was offered. The Rashi suggests nehene, he says min horeach shel asovim oi shel besomim, that if he places this wreath on, he's going to be enjoying the fragrance, and that's a problem. Lo yoniach nimtsa mehane, if he doesn't place it, then he's going to have to pay the tax, and will thereby be benefiting the Avodah Zarah, and that's a problem also. And from this point, we will eventually see the question. This is the question on Reish Lakish. Mikan Omru, based on this scenario, it has been said, Hanoise v'noisein b'shuk shel avodis kochavim, someone who does business in the idol market, the idolatry market, behemoth te'alker, if someone bought an animal from the shuk of Avodah Zarah, the idolatrous market, then the animal that he gets, te'oker, te'oker is more later on we'll discuss what that is. It has to do with the cutting of its legs so that one won't be able to benefit from the animal. Peros ksus v'kelim yirakvu, these items of fruits, clothing, and articles, let them rot. Moos uklimatris, cash, which is metallic, and other metal vessels, they, by leaving them, nothing happens to them, so the solution with regard to those things that one acquired from the shuk shel avodis kochavim, yolicham liyam hamelach, cast them into the salt sea. The Ezehu Ikor, what is Ikor that was referred to in the context of the behemos? Hamansher parsisel min arkuva ulamato. It's the cutting of the legs from beneath the arkuva joint, the knee joint, if you will. Kotoni mias, there is, however, mentioned or taught in this source the following excerpt. Yoniach, if one places the wreath on his head, nimso nehene, he'll be benefiting from the fragrance. Lo yoniach, if he doesn't place the wreath on, nimso mehane. Now we've dashed underlined that phrase specifically, that phrase shows that being mehane, benefiting the Avodah Zarah, is a problem as well, and that's against Reish Lakish. Omar Rav Mishar Shibreidu Rav Idi Kosova Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Shimon ben Lakish is of the opinion, Pligi Rabbonon Olei de Rabbi Nasan V'ano de Amri K'Rabbonon de Pligi Olei. I feel that the Rabbonon disagree with Rabbi Nasan, and the Rabbonon are matir, and I, who allow the Mahane situation, I hold like the Rabbonon that argue with him. V'Rabbi Yochanan, that said Mehane is also Aser, to benefit the idol is Aser. Sovar lo pliki, he is of the opinion that the Chachomim as well agree and forbid. On this point now, the Gemara raises a long question. You'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this question. All of the lines opposite this vertical dashed line form the question. So the Gemara asks, "Velo pligi, is that really so that they don't argue? In other words, like you just claim that everyone is agreement that Mahana is also Vahatanya, but we have the following Tanaic source. Hoyuchin liyirid shel oivdei kochavim, one is allowed to go to the market of the idolatrous population. The loikfin mehem behemo avodim ushvachos botim v'sodos ukromim, and one is allowed to buy animals, slaves, houses, fields, vineyards. The Kosev Umala Berkoy Shalahem, and he's allowed to sign documents and enter their courts, even though the entrance to their courts and seeking judgment in their courts is a source of honor to them, and there is grounds to think that they will then go and thank the Avodah Zarah that the Jews are coming to their courts. So why is that mutter? Because it's viewed as if you're saving your property from contesters. Rashi says, "Shehu kematzel miyodam shemitoch kach." By participating in their legal system, you lo edim. He'll have witnesses, umesayin oisoy lahatzil, and those witnesses will eventually help him protect his property min ha'oyrin from contesters. Continuing in the source, v'im hoya koyein, and if we're talking about a koyein. He is allowed to travel outside of Eretz Yisrael, even though the traveling to outside of Eretz Yisrael entails a form of tumah, a ritual impurity that is rabbinic imposed, giving the area outside of Eretz Yisrael the status of a cemetery. So we can call it a tumas meis midrabbonan. And nevertheless, a Kohen, who generally speaking is prohibited from encountering Tumas Meis, if it is for the sake of preserving his property or challenging contesters, and the only place to do that is traveling to Chutz La'aretz in order to wage your legal battle, he is allowed to go there. U'kashem shemetame b'chutz la'aretz, kach metame, and we skip the parentheses for a moment, base hapras to Rabbanan. And just like he is allowed to enter chutz la'aretz for these purposes, he is allowed to enter a base hapras, which is an area that there is tumas mace, ritual impurity from a mace on a rabbinic level. The section that we skipped is contains in it a lashon, a version that's problematic, and the Gemara itself corrects it within the points out the problem in the bracketed section. So let's go over it. We mentioned that just like the Kohen is allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz for the sake of protecting his possessions, kach mitame beveis hakvoros. He is likewise allowed to enter a cemetery. So to this the Gemara asks, with wonderment, Beveis hakvoros salkadaitoch. Could one possibly think that a kohen is allowed for the sake of monetary concerns to enter a cemetery? Tumo doraisahi. A cemetery is the basic tumah that's forbidden from the Torah for a kohen to encounter. Elo, what is meant to say that the parallel to the case of going to Chutz La'aretz is Beis Hapras Derabonan. Rashi explains Beis Hapras, Sodeh, Shenechrash Bo Kever, a field that had a grave in it, but the entire field was plowed up. The Choshu Chachomim Ad Meo Amois, Dildulo Machresho Es Ksisu Hatzomois. The Chachomim raise a certain amount of suspicion that maybe the plow cast around for a distance of 100 amos, 100 amos from the grave, it cast around pieces of bone. V'shemo yavor al etzim kisoro v'sitenu. And the chashash is that if the kohen crosses such a field, he will kick a bone fragment the size of a barley grain, which does also impart tumah, although not through overshadowing, but it imparts tumah through movement of such an item, of a piece of bone the minimum size of a barley. Continuing in the source, umetame lilmot Torah v'lisa'isha, the kohen is also allowed to expose himself to tumah derabbanan in order to learn Torah, and if necessary, in order to marry a woman. So that if he has a fitting mate waiting for him in Chutz Laretz. He's allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laretz to marry that woman, of course, with the intent of coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rav Yehuda, Emosai, when is there an allowance for this tuma? The Bizman She'ein Motzei Lilmoid, when he has no option of learning without exposing himself to the tuma de Rabbanon. Avo Bizman She'motzei Lilmoid, if he has an option or an opportunity to gain Torah knowledge without exposing himself to Chutz Laretz, Eino Matana, he's not allowed to go to Chutz Laretz. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afilu Bizman She'motzei Lilmoid, Yitame, even if in Eretz Yisrael this Kohen does have a place to learn, has from whom to learn, he is nevertheless allowed to go to Chutz Laretz to pursue his Torah learning. Lefi She'ein Adam Zeche Lumoid Mikol, that even though there is a place in Eretz Yisrael that he can learn from, maybe he personally won't be successful in learning from that particular instructor, that Rav. And therefore, the one from whom he will see success, if he's located in Chutz Laretz, he is allowed to go there. As and the rule that Rabbi Yossi says is Lefi She'ein Adam Zoche Lulmod Mikol. A person isn't necessarily successful in learning from just anybody. Omar Rabbi Yossi, Ma'isa B'Yosef HaKoyin, Sheholach Acha Rabo Letzidoin Lulmod Torah. Rabbi Yossi reports that an incident involved a Kohen, Yosef HaKohen, that he went to Tzidon, which is in Chutz Laretz, because his Rav went there. So this Kohen followed his Rav to Tzidon in order to learn Torah from him. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, and here we must emphasize the fact that Rabbi Yochanan is the speaker. Rabbi Yochanan says, Halocha k'Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yossi, who is featured in this particular source, and in this source we also saw Heichen Lirid Shel Oved Kohen VeLochen Mehem Alma Pligi. We see from this source that the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Nosson. They say in this source that you're allowed to go to the Shuk of the Avodas Kohen and buy from them. Let's take a look at the Rashi, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan Alochka Rabbi Yossi, whom he da'iri bo Rabbi Yochanan, from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan speaks about this source, he paskins like Rabbi Yossi, who's found in this source. Shema mino shmiel le Rabbi Yochanan hachmas disin. We see that Rabbi Yochanan was familiar with this source, and it says the loikhen mehen behemo. That's a quote from the source that you can buy from them. So you see, pligo. That pligo ad Rabbi Nosson. This source is an argument with Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson's source mentioned that if one ends up buying from the shuk of the Avodas Kohavim, he has to eliminate the animal or eliminate the items he benefit from. Namely, according to Rabbi Nosson, it's also according to the Chachamim, it's mutter to buy from the shuk. Omar loch Rabbi Yochanan li'olam loy pligi. Rabbi Yochanan insists on that which he originally said, that there is no machlokis between Rabbi Nosson and the Chachamim, the lo kashya, as far as what seems to be the discrepancy between these two sources. There's no discrepancy. Kan beloikeach min atagor, the source that restricts buying from them is where you're buying from an official merchant, the shakli michsaminei, that they take taxes from him. In such a case, everyone will agree, even the Chachamim will agree, that it's usur to buy from an establishment from whom taxes are collected for idols. Kan, the source that indicates it's mutter to make a purchase, belekech mi balabayis, it's a case of a purchase from a private individual, the loshakli mirsomine. The idol worship establishment doesn't collect taxes from private sales. Omar Mar, Behemo Teoker. This was mentioned above in the first source, in the Reb Nelson source, that if one buys a behemo from the Shuk Shel Avodas Kohavim, so the animal is to be ne'ekar. So the Gemara asks, well, if you're going to cut the animal's legs, then v'ha ikot sar balei chayim. Is there not there is a prohibition of causing pain to animals? So how can such a thing be legislated? Omar Abaye, Omar Achmona, there's a pasuk in the Tanakh that says es susehem te'oker, and Rashi points out this is the same te'oker b'Yoshua k'siv. It's a pasuk in Yoshua alma muter l'radoisan b'kach. It's by we'll say heavenly ordination that such a procedure is allowed, so that even though ostensibly it seems to be something that causes the animal pain, and the in general there is a prohibition against that, but since there is a verse that legislates this procedure, it is allowed. And even though there may be an issue of Tzar B'chaim, this overrules that particular consideration. Omar Mar, the Ezo Ikur, Mansher Pasusel Min Arkuva Ulamato. What is considered ikur? This was mentioned in the source above, that ikur is the cutting of the legs from below the arkuva joint. At this point, the Gemara raises a contradiction from another source, and on Amud Beis you'll notice that we have a triangle describing ikur as something different. The second line from the top of Amud Beis, the source raises Vezu Ikur, and it talks about locking the animal up. Before we go further, we'll notice on the side of our Gemara, Nosei Mivneh, we have a topic heading and a structural note combined. The triangle is featured, Liyashev Stira Ben Shtei Mekoros, Bepirush Mao Ikur Behemoth. The role of this sugya is to resolve what seems to be a contradiction regarding the definition of ikur. So, having read the first quote, namely that it's a function of manshir parsiseha, we now raise a question, veromini. We raise a contradiction from the following source, ein makedishin, v'ein machrimin, v'ein ma'arichin, v'zman hazeh. One is not to make different forms of Beis HaMikdash, or temple dedications, nowadays. The reason for that is, since there's no Beis HaMikdash, the item that I may have dedicated through either Hekdash or Hachroma Machrim is another form of dedication, which goes to the temple repair fund, and Ma'arichin is a function of Erichin. Any of these different types of dedications, since there's no Beis HaMikdash, on the one hand the item gains sanctity, on the other hand there's no place to bring it. So the fear is that if I have this item that has been sanctified in my possession, I will come to what's called Lidei Takola, come to stumbling, namely I'll end up using it, and that's forbidden. It's forbidden to benefit from sanctified items. Therefore, if the source goes on to say v'im hikdish v'ichrim v'erich, and let's say someone did make these different kinds of dedications, well, depends now. What did you dedicate? Behema te'oker, peros ksus v'kelim yirakfu. If it's an animal, so it goes through ikur. But at this point, we can't define that. We can't translate that. That's pretty much the point of our discussion right now. Peros ksus v'kelim, fruit. The articles of clothing and vessels, yirakfu, they are left to rot. Mois klimatris yiluchum yam melach, and cash and other metal utensils are cast into the salt sea. The ezu ikur, notice we've triangled this to draw your attention to the previous triangle, and we've also labeled this as number two, the second definition of ikur. It says, noyel delas bifonel vihi mesame aleha. The animal that was sanctified nowadays, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, we lock the animal up, do not feed it, and it dies on its own. So, for our purposes, though, we have a contradiction in what is the definition of ikur. In order to deal with this, we see in our marking system a diamond, a new marking, a new geometric form, on the side of our Gemara, the Nosei Mitneh, two deos. We're going to see two reasons why we do not cut the feet of an animal that was sanctified. So, Omar Abaye, Shiny Hassam, case number two, the case of the sanctified animal is different, and the reason that we don't cut its feet is Mishum Bizayon Kochim, because if you cut its feet, you will be doing an action and the action resulting in a slow death. Rashi says at the top, it is not going to die quickly, and its cut feet, which is a bizoyon, it's a type of embarrassment or desecration of a sanctified item, it will be seen for quite a while until the animal eventually dies. So as far as a sanctified animal, the form of ikor is this locking it up in the room and it dies on its own. But I'm not imposing some kind of desecration to the animal itself. It simply dies out of starvation on its own. The Gemara asks, well, if the reason we lock it up and we don't cut its legs is because of bizoyon kochim, and bizoyon kochim was defined as a slow death, and causing a long-term exposure of its bizoyon, I have a different solution. V'nishchatei mishchat. Why not just slaughter the animal? So the Gemara says, well, if you do that, osu bohu lidei takola. Someone can stumble and end up eating the meat. The Gemara asks, well, the l'shavya gistera, why not kill it by chopping it in two? Gistera is cut it in two. By doing that, you won't have a bizoyon kochim because it will die quickly. So you won't have a situation where people see a desecrated body. And also, there's no takola issue because people will not eat from an animal that was chopped in half. So why not do this, l'shavya gistera? As we said, just chop it in half. Omar Abaya Makro, Abaya says, the Pasuk says, when it tatstemes mizruchoysam, losasim kein l'shem aloikechem. The Torah says that when it comes to items belonging to idols, those types of things one smashes, one destroys. However, things that are sanctified for the holy purposes of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, one is not allowed to practice a destructive behavior. So, making it into gistera would be tantamount to smashing an altar. So when it comes to things that are l'shem elokeichem, things that are sanctified, one's not allowed to practice such destructive behavior. Therefore, out of default, if you will, the only solution for someone who is makdish, an animal, b'zman hazeh, is to simply lock it up and let it die on its own. Rava Omar. Rava is another explanation why we don't cut the legs of a sanctified animal. Why the second triangle said noyal delos with banana and we don't cut its legs is, he says, mitnesha nira. Now we've dashed underlined the word nira. It's a very important word for the next few lines of Gemara. He says it creates an appearance kematil mum bekochim. It's as if I were imposing a mum on something that is destined to be a sacrifice, kochim, sanctified items. It's important for us to also note that the problem of cutting the legs, if you explain it as nira kematil mum bekochim, that would be an isur derabbanan. The Gemara asks, nira, what? It just is a matter of an appearance? Mum alyahu. It's an actual blemish that you are imposing on the animal. It's not just a function of how things look. It's an actual imposition of a blemish. And there's an isur deoraisa, a Torah prohibition from doing that. So the question is, why does Rava say it's merely nira? It merely creates the appearance of imposing a mum. It's an actual imposition of a mum. So the Gemara answers, Hani Mili, when do we say that there would be a prohibition of imposing a blemish, a Torah prohibition? That Hani Mili Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam, the Chozi Lakrova, that is true when the Beis HaMikdash is around and the animal in question would be fit to be offered. So if I go and impose a blemish on an animal that's fit to be offered as a sacrifice, that is the Isur Daraisa. Hashtu de lochozi lakrova leslon bo. Nowadays when there's no Beis HaMikdash, and I go ahead and impose a blemish on this animal, even if it's sanctified, nevertheless, the Torah does not legislate against that. The Torah legislates only against the imposition of blemishes of mumin on animals that could be offered. The Gemara asks, well, even if it can't be offered, there still is a restriction in imposing mumin. The lehevei kematil mum bebal mum. The afagav de lochozi lakrova osir. Why not consider this as the imposition of a blemish on an animal that is already blemished? And the Rashi quotes all of the background information for this, but for our purposes, it's sufficient to know, to be aware, that as far as the Torah is concerned, if an animal already has a blemish, namely, it's unfit to be offered, I'm still, on a Torah level, restricted from imposing a mum, a blemish, on such an animal. And that's a restriction, as we mentioned, a Doraisa restriction. So why does Rava say it just appears meaning a lower level offense? So the Gemara answers with a chiluk, with a distinction. Baal mum, if you're dealing with an animal that already has a blemish, however, it is during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we say as follows, Nehi delo chozi legufei, granted, since it has a mum on it, a blemish, it is not itself fit to be offered. Ledomi chozi. Its cash value, though, if you redeem the Baal Mum during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the money that you fetch from the redemption of such an animal, in other words, if I transfer the sanctity onto cash, that money can be used to buy a sacrifice. So that the case of Matil Mum B'Baal Mum is, we could say, it's like one step removed from an actual situation of being offered. Though itself wouldn't be offered, the cash value could be used to purchase something that would be offered. La Fuke Hacha, to the exclusion of this case of Bizman Azeh of nowadays, the Lola Domi Chazi V'Lola Gufei Chazi. The animal is not fit nor for itself and not even for its money value. There's simply no way to offer things to Bizman Hazeh. Ashkechei Rabbi Yoina L'Rabbi Eloi Dekoi Apischa Tzur. Rabbi Yona met Rabbi Eloi, who was standing at the gate of Tzur, Amale Kotani. So he said, it says in the Tanaic source, according to Rabbi Nosson's source, Behema Te'oker, that if you buy from the Yerid Shalakim, you buy from the marketplace of the idolatrous population, so the Behema Te'oker, you cut its legs. Eved Mai, what is the din about one who would purchase a slave from the idolatrous marketplace? Can you cut its legs? The slave, the person, it's a human being, can you cut his legs? Eved Yisrael lo ka mibayali. If the issue was one who bought a Jewish slave from the marketplace, there's no issue, there's no question about that. It's obviously forbidden. The question is, if I buy a slave who is an idol worshipper, would I be allowed, being that I should not have bought him in the first place, if I was over and bought him, just like we saw by the Behema, the rule was Behema Te'aker, what about the purchase of an idol worshipping slave? Omar Le, so he answered, my call me by Allah, what are you asking? Tanya, there's a Tanaic source that already answers your question, and it says, we've dashed underlined the expression v'lo moridin because this is the main point, this is the answer. If, when you're dealing with idol worshippers, there is a prohibition of killing them. This is a source that's quoted later in the Masechta. The source is telling us that idol worshippers and those who are roim, who graze their light cattle, people who own light cattle and graze them, there's a tendency for them to not supervise them and allow them to eat the growth in other people's fields. So in effect, these are thieves. If people like this, either an idol worshipper or these people who shepherd around their light cattle, their sheep and goats, if they fall into a pit, in other words, they are now endangered. So the halacha says here, loy malin, there is no expectation to save them. You don't, You don't take them out. Leave them there. Let them die in the pit. However, v'lo maridin, but I don't initiate it. I don't initiate throwing them into the pit. So we see in this source, and with our dashed underline, we're emphasizing the main points. We have ho'evik yechavim, loy maridin. So as far as the question concerning the eved, ho'evik yechavim, that one bought, one is not allowed to practice ikur on him, because that will result in his death, and one is not allowed to kill them. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zera, Kotani. It says in the second source that appeared on Omid Aleph, the source according to the Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan who argued on Rabbi Nosson. It says there, and this is a quote from it. And if you want to be able to find the source more easily, one can use the arrow that one sees to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text indicating Omid Aleph, and would turn back to Omid Aleph and find an arrow also on the left hand side of the Gemara text indicating Omid Beis, and you'll see where this quote comes from. So in that source it said, Loikhin mehen behemo avoda mushvachas. One is allowed to purchase from them animals from the shukshel oivzei avoda zora. One can buy animals, slaves, and bondmaids. Eved Yisrael o dilmo afilu eved oivzei kohavim. The question is, are we referring to the purchase of a Jewish slave from those markets, or even an idolatrous slave? Omar Le, Rabbi Zera answers, Mistabro, now we've indicated a number one over here. This is an anticipation of another approach a little bit later. And by the way, we should have read a little earlier, but we've assigned a topic heading to this piece of Gemara, the no say on the outside margin. Ha de kotoni kainim aliba de rabbonan avodim, that which it said according to the rabbonan that one is allowed to purchase slaves, be a reed shel akum, in the from the marketplace of the idolatrous population, be aza eved medubar. What kind of slave are we talking about? A Israel or a goy? So Rabbi Zera answers that question. Mistabro, we're back in the Gemara, Mistabro Eved Yisrael. It must, most likely, we're talking about the allowance to purchase a Jewish slave. Di Eved Oved Kechovim, Lamai Miboyale. If it was talking about an idolatrous slave, Rashi explains here the Gemara by saying, what kind of mitzvah is there in buying an eved oivei kechovim, concerning which I should offer a relaxation in the halacha that is saying that one has an allowance to buy from the idol worshippers on their holiday. Therefore, according to Rabbi Zera, if we're already bending the halacha, so to speak, to make an allowance to purchase from them, it must be some kind of purchase that has some type of mitzvah value to it. And the mitzvah value in this case is getting the Jew away from the possession of the idol worshippers, and thereby I can go to the idol worshipping shuk and buy this Jewish slave. Ki also Ravan Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. He has a different opinion. He says, "Afilu eved oved kechavim." Notice with our dashed underlines, we're emphasizing the main points. The first dash underline, two lines up, emphasized eved Yisrael. Here, we're emphasizing this opinion, Rovin's opinion, in the name of Reish Lakish, allows for the purchase of a Gentile, an idol-worshipping slave. And the reason for that, for this allowance, has two explanations, and we've indicated that with an aleph over here, and a few lines later we will see beis. So he says, even an eved oved kechovim you can buy, mitnei shemachnisoi tachas kanfei hashchina, because that way you're going to bring him into your house, and he will then be bound to practice numerous mitzvahs. So it's a form of bringing him under the what's called kanfei hashchina. It's like bringing him into a Jewish mitzvah environment. We're deliberately not getting into details about tevila l'shem avdus and the specific status that an eved has, but for our purposes, it's enough to say that by buying him and bringing him into the Jewish household, he will then be obligated to keep certain mitzvahs, and that's called machnisu tachas kanfei hashchina, bringing him under the influence of the divine presence. Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi hears this explanation, and he says, "Otu behemo mai machnis tachas kanfei hashchina ika." The source said. According to the Rabbanon, that it's mutter to buy from them animals. So what's the bringing them under the divine influence as regards to animals? Elo, so therefore we're offering now a second explanation, a second approach. The heter for buying animals is mishum mi'utayu, because my purchasing from them animals, I'm reducing their holdings. True, I'm paying them cash, but I'm reducing their possessions by buying an animal away from them, away from the Gentiles. Well, with that svara v'hachinami, so too when it comes to buying a slave from them, even if it happens to be an idol worshipping slave, nevertheless I'm allowed to buy the slave away from them, demimati shori, because my mimait, reducing their holdings, is the reason for this being allowed. Rabbi Yankiv Zovan Sandalo, he bought at a Yerid Shel Akum, at a marketplace of Goyim on their Yom Aid, he bought shoes from them. Rabbi Yirmiyah Zavan Pita, he bought bread from them. Omar Lei Chad L'Chavrei, one said to the other, Yasmo. Rashi explains the term Yasmo is someone who's ignorant, you ignoramus. Ovad Rabo Hochi, would your teacher have done that? Omalei Idoch, Yasma Ovad Rabho Hochi, would your teacher have done that? The Travaihu Mibalabayas Zovun, both of these rabbis, Rabbi Yankiv and Rabbi Yirmiyah, bought their items from private sellers. In other words, not from stores, but from private people who were selling these things. And there is no isur in buying from a private establishment. V'chochad v'chad sovar chavroi mitagor zovan. Each one thought that the other one had bought from a merchant. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's also to buy from merchants because of being mehane l'akum. Because when you buy from a merchant, the money that you pay for him, some of that goes to taxes offered that are eventually given over to idols. The Omer of the Abba Breda Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba loy shanu ela the teaching of this, the prohibition of buying from them, is only ela belokeach minatagor, purchase is made from a merchant, the shakli michsamine, because the church establishment collects taxes from them. Avo belokeach mi bal habayis, the loy shakli mine michso, but purchase is made from a private person from whom taxes are not collected, mutter, it's quite all right. Omer Rabbi Abba Brei de Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba. Il mole hoya Rabbi Yochanan ho zimno ba'asra dekos shakli michsa filu mibala bayis havi osar. He observes that if Rabbi Yochanan was in our town now, that taxes are collected even from private sales, he, Rabbi Yochanan, would have asered. And of course, that's Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso, that asers mehane, asers them from benefiting the idols. Well, if that be the case, ela inu hechi zovan. So the question comes back that if that be the case, if we're talking about a situation where taxes are collected even from bala batim, then inhu is a reference to Rabbi Yankiv and Rabbi Yirmiyah hechi zovan. How could they have purchased what they did? The original answer would fall away. The original answer was that they bought from a bala bias. But you're telling me that that nowadays taxes are collected even from private sales. So the Gemara answers, Mibalabayas she'enoi kavu azovun. They bought from a balabayas that's not established. He's not kavua. As far as the parameters of being non-kavua, The Gemara doesn't elaborate on that, and Rashi also simply says Shenu Kavua Velo Masik Musia Datayu. The tax collectors, it doesn't occur to them to collect from someone like that. It could be that they were transient individuals. They didn't have fixed homes from where they sold items. And as a result of that, they were transient. They might have put up a tent here today and gone tomorrow, kind of thing. And that might be an explanation of Eino Kavua. And purchases from people like that are not problematic, even under circumstances that taxes are collected from Balabatim. Eilu Dvarim Asurim Limkor Le'oveid Kechavim. The Mishnah mentions a number of items, most of which will be discussed and explained in the Gemara itself, but as far as the Mishnah is concerned, we will just read them as lists, leaving the explanation work to be done in the Gemara on the next stopim. So the following items are also to sell to idol worshippers: Itzrubulin, Ubinoi Shuach, Uptotros, Ulavoino, Vitarnagol Halovan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mutter Limkor Lo Tarnagolavan, it's Mutter to sell a white chicken, Bain HaTarnagolim, if you're selling the white chicken amongst a group of other chickens. So if you're making a bulk sale to the idol worshippers, a bulk sale of chickens, and there happens to be a white chicken amongst them, that's okay. Ubizman Shubifnei Atzmoy, if you have a white chicken, you don't have other chickens, you have just white chickens, and you intend to sell it to the idol worshippers, koitea es etzboi, you cut its toe, cut the chicken's toe, u mochro lo, and then you can sell it to him, lefi she'ein makrivim choser lavodis kovim, because the Gentiles, the idol worshippers, don't offer to their deities animals that are missing a limb. And in this case, it would be missing the toe that I cut off. Ushar kol advorim, all kinds of other items. Stamon muter upirushon osir. This phrase will be dealt with by the Gemara. Rabbi Meir Omer af dekel tav v'chatzav v'naklas osir limkor li'ovdei kechavim. He adds several other items that are also forbidden to be sold to the idol worshippers. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.